Encounter family, let's give the Lord a hand as we celebrate His work around the world today on our Go Sunday. This is a very special Sunday for us as a church family, as we together collectively ask the Lord to grow our hearts for reaching the nations for Christ and celebrate with some very special people in our lives, our global partners that God has placed all around the world. We actually have 19 different global partners that God has strategically placed all around the world, and they are people who are pioneering in sharing Christ and fostering gospel movements and disciple-making opportunities through training and teaching and even business ventures. And they are a super special part of our church family. In fact, I want to recognize those who are in the room today. If you're one of our global partner families, please stand wherever you are in the room right now. Can we give them a huge hand as we sit, thank God for them? You all are a very, very special part of our church family, and we love you, and we're thankful to be together today. We're continuing on through our series through the book of Acts today, and today we're going to look at prayer that opens the doors for reaching the nations as we pray and go across the street and around the world together. And so I'm going to ask everyone to stand right now, and we're going to read our passage this morning. This is the beginning of Acts chapter 4, and it really sets the stage of where we're going. In Acts chapter 4, we have the first recorded prayer of the New Testament church that was beginning to reach the nations for Christ. And it's a pace-setting prayer that God wants to use in all our lives. And so we're starting in verse 1 today. If you are a guest with us, my name is John. I'm one of the pastors here, and you've come on a really special Sunday today for us as a church. So you can follow along on the screen, and I'm going to pray as we get to the end of this passage. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, talking about the apostles, Peter and John, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Now, we're going to pray in just a moment, but before we pray, as you came in, there were two different cards, hopefully on your seats as you sat down. One of those is a Global Partner prayer card. It has a picture on it, and our hope is that you'll take that home, put it somewhere where it'll remind you to pray for whatever one of our 19 global partners God placed on your chair today. And then the other card is a prayer commitment card. And if you want to receive monthly updates from this global partner and other prayer requests and just commit to praying for them, really let that card be a response to your worship today, a faith step, a partnership step in the gospel with the global partner that God has placed on your seat today. So just for clarification, one of those, the one with the picture, you take home and you pray for one of our global partners. And the other one, if you turn it in the offering later and let us know you want to be a part of their prayer and information team. And when the service is over today, all of our global partners will be in the back of the room. I am still newish to Encounter. I can claim that for about one more month, I think. But I'm meeting some of our global partners for the first time, and I hope you will as with me, because I met them this weekend, and I am telling you, their life and their stories are inspiring for our own walk with the Lord. And so don't miss the opportunity today to meet some of them and ask them what they're doing and grab one of their prayer cards as you leave at the end of the worship service. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, we just pray, Holy Spirit, your presence upon this place. We ask for your encouragement over our global partners all around the world, those with us and those who are not with us today. We ask for your encouragement on all of us, and we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to recognize another group in the room before I jump into the message, and that is our global partner ministry team here at Encounter, led by our amazing global partner director, Shelley. If you and stand, everybody on the team here with her. There are others of you all around the room. We are thankful for you. They help mobilize, pray for, connect with, and encourage all of our global partners. Well, we're setting the scene in Acts chapter 4. Christ was crucified, buried, and risen. The disciples were gathered, and the Great Commission has been spoken. Go and make disciples of all nations. And the disciples are gathered and they're told to wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything. Don't pass go until the Holy Spirit is given. And the disciples are waiting, even if imperfectly, for the Holy Spirit to be given. And on the day of Pentecost, the good news of Jesus Christ is given in all of these different languages, all at the same time, so that everyone would know for all time that the good news of Jesus Christ is for everyone. It is for the nations. And the New Testament church is birthed, and about 3,000 people accept Christ on the opening day of the New Testament church, and they begin to grow. And this is when persecution begins for the early church, and it has not ended since that time. And so the apostles, Peter and John, two of the leaders of the early church, are in the temple in Jerusalem, and God uses them to heal this man who had been unable to walk since birth. And we don't have all the details, but suddenly, and let's just call this man Frank. Frank is healed there in the temple. And all of a sudden, everybody who knows Frank is like, Frank is standing up. Frank is praising God. Frank is jumping up and down. And it creates this incredible stir. Really, it creates a riot in the temple. And Peter is so excited about what God is doing, he can't contain himself. And so he begins to preach the second message that we have from him. It's recorded in the book of Acts. And as he's preaching, he can't help but talk about this word, the word resurrection. And by the end of the message, the Bible tells us that over 5,000 more people from all over the known world at the time come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, that's 5,000 people. Now, I know some of you in the room, as soon as you hear that, you're like, well, I really don't like big churches. All right, I've heard that before. I don't like mega churches. Well, I hate to tell you this, but you wouldn't have liked your faith on opening week, okay? Because we're talking over 8,000 easily in the city of Jerusalem, which is about the size of Ventura. And it's actually a little bit hard to be a Great Commission church and not want to reach the nations all over the world and the people across the street in our life. And this whole thing is big. And it is from God. And it is about the risen Jesus Christ. And these temple religious leaders at the time in Jerusalem are not so excited about what Peter and John are doing and saying. And they say, you can't come talk about that in the temple. And so they put Peter and John in jail overnight, trying to get them to stop talking, which worries everyone else, because the last time someone got arrested, it was Jesus, and they crucified him afterwards. And the next morning, the religious leaders pull them out of jail, and they say, well, what were you talking about that created such a stir in the temple? And Peter, he turns around, and he goes, well, I am so glad you asked. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, we read, let it be known to all of you, Peter says, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, and I'm pretty sure he was pointing his finger, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man, speaking of Frank, is standing before you well. And Peter concludes his message with a statement, as Frank is just going all over town praising God. And he concludes his message with this statement that bothered a lot of people back then and bothers people to this day, and yet empowers us as we desire to reach the nations. In verse 12, and says, and there is salvation in no one else, talking about Jesus. For there is no other name, talking about Jesus, under heaven given among men, by which we must be saved. And I'm fairly confident that there were a few people listening to Peter who said, well, Peter, that sounds a little narrow to me. You know, you're leaving out Moses and you're leaving out Abraham. He was pretty cool. And we had all other of these great prophets in Israel. But Peter can't keep quiet. And he says, you have to embrace Jesus. There's salvation through no other name. And in verse 13, now when they, the Jewish church leaders, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. The religious leaders are super bugged because they can't really say anything because this living miracle is standing right there in front of them. So they can't attack the miracle workers in front of the crowd because this guy who we are calling Frank, who has never stood a day in his life, is now standing strong for Jesus Christ and proclaiming him all over town. And the Jewish leaders are afraid to say too much. And all they do is basically say to Peter, you can leave, but don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about that name. Don't talk about the resurrection. And Peter looks at them fresh out of jail. He still smells like jail. And he says, I'm not going to be able to do that. I love that name. And I love my Savior. And besides, verse 20, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And Peter and John go off and find the other disciples. And everyone breathes a sigh of relief because they're okay. And right here, Luke, who's writing all these events down, he begins to tell us this prayer that they prayed. And I'm going to share this prayer with you in a moment, and it's an incredibly important prayer. But first, I just want to say this. I really believe that God is wanting to stretch our hearts for reaching the nations as a church family this morning. And just possibly, God wants to use this prayer in the book of Acts to help that to happen. Because in Acts, basically what's happened at this point for the church is they've almost lost leader number one and leader number two, Peter and John. And I wonder what we would be praying in this moment. We're going to read their prayer, but I wonder what we would be praying. Because I think we'd probably be praying a prayer like, well, thank you, God, that they are okay. And would you put a hedge of protection over them that actually comes from the book of Job. Parents pray this prayer for their kids all the time. Lord, put a dome of protection around my child. Any of you prayed that out there before? You know, we're very safety conscious people, we Americans. We pray these things all the time. It's good to pray those prayers. I wonder though, if some would have gone a step further and said something like, hey, Peter and John, you can no longer travel together anymore because we can't lose you both at once. And not only that, we're going to give you a security detail, and we're going to give you these black charried out Escalade chariots with guys with suits on and these little things in their ears to protect you. And John, if you could just tone down the rhetoric a little bit, maybe just do a sermon on peace and kindness or something like that. But instead, this is how they prayed, and it's a guiding example for us. First, we pray based on the power of God's sovereignty. And I know for a moment that it sounds a little wordy, but it is worthy of mentioning because this is what happens. And when they, this infant beginning church, heard it, this report from Peter and John and going before the religious leaders, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, and here it is, the first recorded prayer of the New Testament church. Are you ready? I'm just warning you right now. This is a good prayer. Are you ready? Okay, now in my family, when my kids were growing up, whenever someone in our family would pray a really good prayer, one of my children was famous for always saying, Mom, Dad, that was a really good one. And I want you to know right now, this is a really good one. And this is what they prayed. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Lord, before we even get started, we want you to know that we know who we're talking to, that nothing is out of your control. You are sovereign. Nothing happens, Lord, without you knowing it. You made everything. You are great. And we may not understand all these events, these terrible events going on in the world around us, but we understand you. and that you are bigger than all of them and working in them, even though we can't always see it. Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. And what they're doing in that moment right there is they are praying a quote from Psalm 2 in the Old Testament. This quote that was predicting that the Messiah would be persecuted and mistreated, and they're taking the events that happened in Jerusalem about Jesus and bringing it into their context. They are praying the scriptures. And by the way, it is a great way to pray for our global partners and for one another is to pray the scriptures over one another, where you take a few verses, you take a psalm, you give a verse to everyone around the table, whoever you're with, you read the verse, and then you pray based on whatever that verse says. And one of the powerful things about praying for our global partners is every time we pray for them, it connects our heart to what God is doing all over the world, whether we are world travelers or not. Verse 27, for truly in this city, Jerusalem, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. And what I want us to remember is what these events they're talking about, they didn't happen 100 years after all this. They weren't saying this 50 years after. This is literally 2 months after the crucifixion and everything that happened, the resurrection that happened in Jerusalem. And look at the next part of the verse of their prayer, verse 28. To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. They say, yes. You know, they believed that the recent events that looked like they were spiraling out of control to everyone else, that somehow the sovereign God sovereignly oversaw even the crucifixion of their friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then they get to what we would call the prayer request, verse 29, and it's incredible. And it leads us to another guiding example of prayers that open doors for the nation, is that we pray for God-given boldness, verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. This is the request. Here it is. And grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Now, time out for a moment, because I want to comment on their prayer before we get to the rest of their prayer. I'm thinking to myself, boldness? Isn't boldness what got you into this mess in the first place? Isn't boldness what got Peter put in jail? And Peter, from my first 21st century perspective, you know, I would say that you have boldness covered. You just stood out in the street and told all these people you didn't know about the risen Lord. But what I want us to realize today is part of the reason that the good news of Jesus Christ got out of the first century and got into the 21st century is because first century followers of Jesus Christ prayed for God-given boldness. And this world needs boldness. Just as it needs a bold love and just as it needs bold examples. And then they ask for something even more extreme. Verse 30, grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Now here's the second request. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Have you prayed for signs and wonders recently? And I want us to see what they're praying for, because they're asking to be able to go out into the community and that God would do something through their lives so that their unbelieving friends, their skeptical friends, their friends who have reasons to be skeptical would stop and they would say, whoa, that was God. That was God. And I actually want to have us read this prayer out loud together for a moment in the NIV version. And as we read it, let's bring up the next one. There it is. We're going to read this out loud. And as we read it, I want to read it as a prayer over our global partners today. Let's begin together. Read it out loud with me. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What if we really began to pray this way? Lord, would you stretch out your hand Among my friends in our community who are unbelieving and anti-church in a way that would draw them to you. God, would you stretch out your hand in a way among my friends who are so skeptical and quote people who I can't even know who they're talking about sometimes because I know on my own I can't convince them without your power. Lord, would you stretch out your hand and do something among our global partners that is so unusual, not for our sake, not for the church, but for the sake of unbelieving people around the nations. One of our global partners shared a story with us recently of the impact of a prayer of healing, and we want to share it with you. This is their story told through someone else's voice. We can't share who it is because of the country that they're sharing Christ in, but listen to this testimony.
One Sunday afternoon several weeks ago, my friend Beauty stopped by our house and said to me, "Are you ready? Let's go visit and pray for Zuli, the woman I met online who is in excruciating back pain." As we were on the way to Zuli's apartment, we asked the Lord what he wanted to do during this visit. To my surprise, I saw an image of a knee and a biblical phrase saying, "And he got up and walked." I got excited because I felt the Lord was speaking. But when I asked Beauty if Zuli's knee was in pain, Beauty replied that she thought it was her back that was bothering her, not her knee. We arrived at Zuli's apartment and knocked. A woman came to the door and Beauty introduced us. As Zuli invited us in, we noticed that she was limping laboriously to the room where she was seating us. By the way of explanation, she said that her knee was in excruciating pain from some kind of pinched nerve or slipped disc in her back, and she could not walk or get up or down without intense pain. We all sat down on the floor around a tablecloth. Her daughter served us food, and for the first hour of our time, we listened to Zuli told much of her life story. She shared some of the deepest and most painful stories of rejection, familial betrayal, and lack of love that I had heard in a long time. At some point during the conversation, we told her that it was clear to us that she was seeking God and that God had heard her prayers. He was wanting her to experience his peace and his love and his care for her in the places of her pain. We told her that we also believed that the Lord wanted to heal her knees. He was wanting her to experience his peace, his love, and his care for her in the places of her pain. We prayed once while we were sitting down and nothing much happened. But this thought persisted, that the Lord wanted to touch her physical body. So, just as we were about to leave, we stood up and told her we wanted to pray for her again. At this time, as we prayed, the atmosphere in the room changed. A heavy peace and his presence came and rested on all of us. Zuli looked at us and said, "I feel so much lighter. And while you were praying, I felt my mental angst release and peace filled my heart and mind." We asked her about her knee and she said it still hurts. But we noticed that she kept shaking her leg like something was happening. We had to leave pretty quickly after that and thanked her for her hospitality. A couple of days later, Beauty received a message from Zuli. It said, "Dear beautiful Beauty, praise God. He has healed me and I can walk again. The pain in my leg has diminished greatly and there is just little pain left." But then again, she said, "Praise God, I have peace in my mind and joy has entered my heart. Praise God."
Amen. God is at work among the nations in all kinds of ways, and we're given another guiding example of prayer that opens doors for each of the nations, and that is that we pray for greater awareness of God's presence. Lord, would you make yourself known here right now? Lord, would you make yourself known among the nations? Verse 31, look what happened. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We have said this all the way along through the book of Acts, but that any time we see that phrase, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, we want to stop and take note of it. And in John 16, 13, Jesus, talking about one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, he says, it's to guide us into all truth about God. And Jesus says to us that the Spirit, and he's speaking of himself, takes what he says and what he has done and makes it real to us. That is being filled with the Spirit. He takes who he is and what we know about him in our head and makes it real in our hearts and in our life. J.I. Packer has a book called Keeping in Step with the Spirit, and he says the role of the Holy Spirit, or one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is what he calls a spotlight ministry, where basically, like, if you're walking down a dark street at night and it's really dark and you come around a corner and you see a statue that's lit up, this amazing statue that's lit up by floodlights, the thing that you don't say when you see that is, what amazing floodlights, right? You don't say that. What you do say is, that's an amazing statue. You don't even notice the floodlights. And it's similar with the Holy Spirit. It's not that we say, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, though we do say that sometimes just to recognize what he's doing. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus Christ beautiful and seen to ourselves and to the people around us. That's what being filled with the Spirit is. It's opening wide the floodgate to spotlighting who God is, where God's power and sovereignty are so real to us that we're no longer afraid. Amen. Where his love is so real to us, we no longer feel ashamed or guilty, but we're actually emboldened by his love. Where his presence is so real to us, wherever we may be, that we actually don't feel alone. And what a great prayer to pray over one another and over our global partners. And so to help us to do that better for our global partners today, we are going to introduce some of them to you. And I'm going to ask those who are sharing in this service to come on up right now. Would you give them a hand as they're coming on up here today? We are highlighting three different global partner families in each of our service. And so we have a group in this service and also a group in the next service. And we are going to be sharing who they are and a little bit about what they do, and so that we can better pray for them and just understand what God is doing in the world around them through them. And so can we give them one more hand as they come up here today? Well, Pastor Daniel and Lori Hahn are a part of Catalyst Ministries, Catalyst International, which you guys both started. And what some of you who are newer to Encounter may not know is that Pastor Daniel was our lead pastor for 14 years, and that Lori was on staff as one of our ministry directors during that time. And you don't get to be a pastor for 14 years without the church just screaming in applause right there in that moment. So can we just give them a hand as a couple? They minister to global partners all over the world, bringing healing and encouragement to them in so many different ways. And Lori, you were just a part of a women's conference called AVA, where there were global partners from 42 different countries all over the world. And would you share, there were many life-changing stories, but would you share one of the life-changing stories from the recent AVA conference?
I would love to. Thank you, John. And so good to be with you, church family. Thank you so much for your partnership with us. So many great stories, but one I'll share. I wore this shirt in honor of my Ukrainian friends. It's called the Vishivanka, and that is a traditional dress that you would wear for a special occasion. We had four women who came to AVA, and they're Ukrainian women. They're young, dynamic leaders on college campuses, and they've continued their ministry in the last 2 years of war, where you know, they're serving college students, but they're also being interrupted by air raid sirens and having to go to bomb shelters. So Ava was an opportunity for them to receive a safe space and receive counseling, be with other like-minded women, getting to worship and laugh and cry together. So they all felt like that just really transformed their lives as a place where they could receive counseling and process the trauma of war. So thank you so much for praying for me, for my team, and for Ava.
Thank you. Some of you may not know this, but Pastor Daniel and I share birthdays. We were both born on September 9th, so I'm pretty sure it was one of the requirements for being a pastor of Encounter. I'm not sure, but Pastor Daniel, you have been in so many countries over the last 12 months. About how many countries have you been in just in the last 12 months?
I don't remember. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Just a lot.
A lot. Yeah. And in that many different countries that you have been a part of, God has written many incredible stories. Would you just share one story about how the prayers of the people of Encounter have worked through your ministry?
Thanks. Thank you for praying for us. It means the world to us. I got back last night from a place in the region of the Middle East and North Africa. It's called the MENA region in the world, and it's where there's the greatest concentration of persecution among believers. So we're talking about places like Iran, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, just all the way around to, down to Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Mauritania, right? That whole circle kind of around that edge of the Mediterranean. So I was there with a group of over 550 workers most of those are nationals, and they're working in this region. Most of them have been persecuted severely for their faith. Some of them have been imprisoned. Some of them know people who have been killed. And this was the second time I was invited to be with this group. And a year ago when I was with them, one of our speakers who was from Libya couldn't make it because he'd been imprisoned right before the conference. So it's just a powerful experience to be with people who are taking the gospel into some of the most difficult places in the world and living day in and day out purely on the prayer of those who surround them. So we take it very seriously. When you just take a moment during your day, doesn't have to be dramatic or anything, just stop and say, Lord, right now I ask you to help encourage those brothers and sisters of mine who are working in hard places, who are taking the gospel worldwide. That's a powerful thing. So thank you for praying with us and loving these people that are doing this work around the world. So.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel. We're going to get the Linus over there. Linus ministers with Global Training Network and empowers pastors and leaders through the training and teaching that he does. And you have a team that you are connected to in Guatemala right now.
Yes.
Maybe you would share one of the challenges they're facing and just what you're wanting God to do through this current team in Guatemala.
Well, this is our third series of training in Guatemala, and we were supposed to be there in January, but because of civil unrest, the roads were blocked. The people that we were going to train couldn't get to the meeting. We couldn't get to the meetings. There was a food shortage, gas shortage, so we rescheduled, and the team is there right now, and they're I just had a photo of 65 people that are being trained from several churches, and just briefly, what our goal is to equip indigenous leaders in the majority world to start movements that reach people for Christ, that make disciples, that develop leaders, and that reproduce churches. And we start with the book of Romans, and we try to draw what we call practical ministry tools out of Scripture that then they would implement in their own lives, in their own churches. And I'll just tell you one of them. One of these practical ministry tools we call the four worlds, that everybody has four worlds, and we want to equip them to reach their four worlds, their biological world, their family, their geographical world, their neighbors, their vocational world, the people where they work, and their volitional world, the things that they do with friends and what have you. And one other practical ministry tool is what we call the one-sentence gospel. We draw this out of Romans chapters 1 through 3. One-sentence gospel is this, and I hope you'll hold on to this. I was lost. Jesus rescued me, and he can rescue you too. And then we have a lot of other practical ministry tools, but that's an idea. And then we actually send people out. In most of our phase one trainings, we will see anywhere from half a dozen to 20 or more people respond to the gospel and come to Christ through the people we're training. So that just happened, and now phase two is going on. Phase three is going to happen in a couple of days.
Praise God, Linus. Thank you. This is Pastor Phil and Rita Workentine, and they are with Global Grace Fellowship. And Phil is a local pastor, and they are based in Brazil. And he and Rita basically open up their life and their home to reach people for Christ in Brazil through many, many different capacities. And Pastor Phil, we as a church this last November gathered somewhere over 1,300 Operation Christmas Child boxes to encourage children around the world and reach kids for Christ. And we know that you're involved with Operation Christmas Child as well. Would you share a little bit about what it's like on the receiving side of being a church that's a part of Operation Christmas Child?
Greetings, everyone. Thank you so much for your constant prayers and a generous support from this church. One of the cool things is being on the receiving end, because you get to see the children receiving the boxes. This last season, I mean, when November, when people were giving boxes, 11.3 million shoeboxes were sent out to about 1,400 teams. That represents 80,000 churches involved just this year. Wow. And the goal this year was to focus at least one team for each one of the 1,400 to reach an unreached people group. So that was a big challenge to get them to focus on that. But there's the heartbeat from many churches was to reach, but they didn't know how to do it. So this year, 935 churches found an unreached people group that they're going to start engaging with the Operation Christmas Child. Mm-hmm. In Brazil, just one story to give you an idea. A church in Olinda, Brazil was discovered in 1500s. This is 1534 city, so it's very old. There's a church there that received the training. Remember, it's 1-1-1 principle, one box, one child for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So every year, we're looking for 80,000 new churches. It's not the same kids. So every shoebox counts. Every one of them, they're gospel opportunities. So this one church is preparing it in Olinda to give out the boxes. And some kids are walking on the streets, and one of them looked at this movement in the church. See, the church becomes invisible for the community many times. But when something big is happening, people in the street notice. Well, Cauê, he was 7 years old, and he looks at this lady at the door and said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, there's a special program for kids like you. Would you like to come in?" No. I can't come in because we're from a different religion. And they're from like the black magic religion, the very spiritism background. And so, "No, you can come in, but I'm not dressed." Well, yeah, the way you are, it's great. And he goes, "Well, I need to ask Dad." So he runs home, and they were preparing everything. He comes back to the door, and the teacher's just waiting there. Is he coming or not? Well, Cauê comes up to the teacher that he didn't know was going to be his teacher, but he comes up to him, "Can I bring my brother?" So Ítalo, he goes, runs home and brings his brother that's 5 years old. They hear the gospel message for the first time in their life. And then they offer the discipleship, because it's go ye and make disciples, not make converts. So they go and they participate of 12 weeks of discipleship. And during that period, he came to know Jesus. The pandemic shut everything down. The cool thing with all of that is that they were listening to Christian radio stations, and on the YouTube, they were able to get Christian songs. So they started learning to sing Christian songs. That church caused an impact in Kawe and Italo. And there, this year, by God's permission, we have 56,000 gospel opportunities in Brazil. 56,000 children will be reached for the first time with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, as these incredible people go find their seats, would you just give them all a hand right now? We're going to do something really special right now as a church family, and we are going to pray over all of our global partners together, and they're going to be sitting throughout the room, and we have placed one of our church leaders next to each one of these global partner couples or families, and in a moment, they are going to stand along with that person, and then I'm going to have all of you, basically, you don't need to leave your seat, but just turn towards the global partner that is closest to you. And then I would invite you to either put a hand on a shoulder near you or lift a hand in the air to symbolically just affirm the prayer that's going to be prayed over our global partners by a leader in our church. And so if you're one of our global partners and the leader's praying, would you just stand? The people who are our global partners, for everybody can see where you are right now. So we've got one here, back there, here, over here, and here. And so what's going to happen in this moment? These folks have given a lot to be with us today, and we're going to pray over them. Also want to invite you at the end, you need to meet them and hear more of their story of what God is doing. It will inspire and encourage you. But right now, stay where you are, but stand and face whoever is near you. And we're going to have one of our, just put a hand in the air just to symbolize your affirmation over them. And then our leaders are going to pray, and then I will close us in just a few moments, and we'll continue on in worship. Go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you for every one of our global partners, Lord, and for the powerful work that you are doing through each of their lives. We thank you that they're part of our church family, and we pray your encouragement over them today. We thank you for sovereignly placing them in each of their ministries and bringing them to all the different countries that they connect with. Lord, we ask that your presence would be known to them right now in their ministry, in their challenges, in their joys. And Lord, we ask you to just overwhelm them with your presence and your love and your encouragement, and to put the incredible love that you have for them just in the center of their heart and life. We continue to commission them to you, God, and give them to you today. As we continue to worship, we love you, Jesus. Amen.